It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org.
Turning up the volume at Apple.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Today is the day for Apple's annual shareholder meeting, and the talk won't be all about the company's 88% jump in profits. Ashley Milne-Tite says two shareholder groups plan to make a fuss over the options backdating scandal.
The two groups oversee investments for unions and pension funds. Pat McGurn is with Institutional Shareholder Services. He says these groups want shareholders to vote for a new option system, a system that won't leave room for executives to enrich themselves by fudging the date an option was granted so they can reap more rewards later.
The goal of the proposal is really to fix the grant dates themselves, to make sure that the company has a predetermined schedule upon which they're going to make the grant.
But Joshua Jaffe of The Deal says this proposal isn't likely to win resounding approval.
The reality is the company's profits are growing so quickly, I think they're going to put those profits above any possible ethics violations that have happened at Apple.
He says most shareholders don't want to put too much pressure on Steve Jobs, the visionary behind the company's growth. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Green is the word at Big Blue. Today, IBM is expected to announce a billion-dollar initiative to save energy. The company maintains 8 million square feet of data centers worldwide. This week, corporate image makers are gathering in San Francisco to talk about this trend among companies to get all tree-huggy. Marketplace sustainability reporter Sarah Gardner wonders how to figure out which of these declarations is real and what's just a PR move.
Conservative Rupert Murdoch says that News Corporation will go carbon neutral and boost programming on climate change. It seems safe to say green is now corporate mainstream. But how many companies are really green versus greenwashers?
Well, greenwashing, like beauty, is in the eye of the beholder.
Joel McCower of GreenBiz.com says there's no good housekeeping seal of approval when it comes to corporate environmentalism. What's changed, though, he argues, are many of the critics.
What you're seeing are groups like Environmental Defense, who was formed with the slogan, "Sue the Bastards." All of a sudden, engaging companies, they're one of the companies that brought TXU to the table. They're one of the companies actively engaging Walmart in how to be greener and cleaner. And they realize we need these companies.
This week, 12 major corporations, including General Motors, added their names to a business alliance calling for federal regulation of greenhouse gases. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Yahoo is closing its online auction site in North America after June 16th. You never heard of Yahoo's auction site? Maybe that's why it's shutting down. The site was getting a barely measurable bit of U.S. traffic compared to the big daddy of online auctions, eBay. On Thursday, the Dow closed up 53 to 13,362. The Nasdaq closed up 5 to 2576, and the S&P closed up 5 to 1512. What do you get when you cross a movie maker and an auto manufacturer in South Korea? Apparently, a theme park. Paramount Pictures and Daewoo are unveiling plans for the billion-dollar project today. This makes Paramount the first foreign entertainment company getting into South Korea's theme park market. The companies hope it'll all come together in time for the Asian Games in 2014.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More at ThriveQ.com. And by the Medtronic Foundation, celebrating women and women's health. Information and resources on women's health issues available at womenshealth.gov. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
There will be talk on Capitol Hill today about the multi-billion dollar student loan industry. With the loan scandals looming, legislation has been introduced in both houses of Congress that would make lenders and campus financial aid offices more accountable. But some universities are pushing to keep policing themselves. Here's Nancy Marshall-Genzer on the debate.
Students are bombarded with loan offers everywhere they turn. This ad is running on YouTube.
Student Loan Financial Group offers the best benefits in the industry.
But even students who ignore the ads and turn to their schools for advice can be misled. Some financial aid officers have admitted getting kickbacks for steering student loans to certain lenders. That would be illegal under the legislation in Congress. But does the government need to get involved? Economists like Columbia University professor Henry Levin don't think so. He says the free market will make universities behave. Schools with good records could attract students with a sort of scandal-free logo.
It's like a good housekeeping stamp of approval, something that would simply indicate that we are a fair information institution in terms of loans and so on and so forth.
Congressman Tim Bishop says that might work if you're selling, say, cereal. The New York Democrat co-sponsored the student loan legislation. He says students don't choose a college based on loan officers' reputations and tuition costs.
A student, you know, may be willing to borrow more to go to a school that he or she perceives as more prestigious than another school where the cost might be less.
That's certainly true for George Washington University senior Stacy Faust. When she applied, her thought was location, location, location. Faust fell in love with the school's downtown Washington campus. Then she thought about how to scrape together almost 50 grand for tuition, room, and board.
I think students are vulnerable to predatory loan companies just because college education is so expensive nowadays. Lenders know students have to borrow loans anyways. We're kind of a trapped market.
That trapped market is worth $85 billion, big enough to ensure the debate over how to regulate student loans is far from over. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.